content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. Welcome to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Monday. Manic Monday. How you doing, Junior?
Yeah, it's a Monday for sure for me.
That's what happens when you party on Sunday.
Yeah, well, while I was at, I went to the Cowboys game, and then while we were there, right at the end, I got a text from the bar that I DJ at, and the DJ canceled, so I had to go in last night, too. So.
Oh, wow.
Jeepers. So, yeah, I worked till like 3 yesterday.
Man. Well, okay. Well, you know, we've got a great show today.
We do. Yes.
And we've got Jackie Schlegel at the half. She is the founder and executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. We're going to be getting an update from her. But first, we've got Mary Holland. It is Monday, so that's where we talk about the most read news of the week, a recap with Mary Holland and the Children's Health Defense. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I always want to say this morning, but it's actually afternoon, so I'm doing great. I am. I'm ready to talk about this. You know, I have to tell you guys that I turned on my television for the first time, really, like for when it wasn't football, I was waiting for the game to come on. And Mary, I am so disgusted with all of the advertisements for vaccine and the news and all these stories of them trying to push these vaccines on little children. I mean, it's over the top. It's ludicrous. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I can't tell you different, Bernadette. It's crazy.
It is.
Crazy. You know,
it is.
It's, you know, as if there's one solution to everything in the world. It's absurd, you know?
Yeah, it really is absurd.
And in fact, it's, you know, the opposite. This is not a solution. This is going to cause so many problems.
Oh, my gosh. And just the tone of their voice when they're trying to sell it, you know, I just wanted to choke them. I just get so upset when I'm watching it. I do. But let me introduce you for maybe people out there listening for the first time. It is Mary Holland. She's with us. It's Mary Mondays. That's what I like to call them. Or Mondays with Mary. And Mary Holland serves as president and general counsel of the Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law, and Mary is the co-author of the book Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. You can find Mary at childrenshealthdefense.org, and we're going over, you know, the news for the most read news of the week from the Children's Health Defense newsletter, The Defender, which is free. I encourage you to sign up for it at childrenshealthdefense.org. So, Mary, the first news story from The Defender is that the VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, you guys, and it's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. COVID vaccine data show surge in reports of serious injuries as 5-year-olds start getting shots. Is it true that the CDC is reporting 383 new deaths over the previous week and thousands of more injuries, Mary?
It is.
Wow.
You know, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, we know only captures, you know, a portion of actual adverse events. But the numbers are just staggering, Bernadette. 383 new deaths. One of the things that this story captures, according to a scientist, Jessica Rose, who's really been focused on this, is that even though the vaccines haven't been approved for children up until now, younger than 12, and we still don't really have that data, already there were 5,000, over 5,500 times that children younger than the age limit were given these vaccines that got adverse events, and 60 children have already died from the COVID shots that were given inappropriately, with 23 of the deaths, Bernadette, being in children under age two.
Wow.
So it just shows you that these things are being given kind of willy-nilly to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really frightening, and, you know, it also tells you that among the people who have died, you know, a very significant portion of them, 26%, had the onset of symptoms within 48 hours. So, you know, it was a toxic exposure to those people who died, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within a very short period of time, their bodies had a very severe reaction and they died. So it's very distressing news. And yet, because it's not, you know, fully vetted information, which the government hides behind, they frankly don't do anything with this information.
Yeah. Well, but sometimes it takes longer. I'm thinking of the story that I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. But another tragic story in the newsletter of the Defender from the Children's Health Defense, most read news of the week, is a story about Shelby Allen, 17 years old from Dyer County, Tennessee. And the headline reads, "Teen diagnosed with Guillain-Barre after COVID vaccine. Thankfully, she wasn't paralyzed and didn't die." But my question was, has this happened to anyone else after getting the vaccine? Yes, of course it has, right, Mary? But
of course, yeah.
This was 2 weeks, right?
It certainly can be. My only point about it being so quickly is the shorter the period of time, Bernadette, from the time that you got the symptoms and the shot, the more obvious it is. It must be the shot. Something that happens 2 weeks later, you know, I think Guillain-Barre, we know, is a very... It happens with a lot of vaccine injuries, right? It's, it's a central nervous system disorder where you basically can lose your ability to use your limbs and your body. And this girl at least isn't fully paralyzed. But the shorter the period of time from when you get the vaccine to the adverse event, the more obvious it is that there's really no other explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
But it's a tragic story. You know,
it
nobody
is.
Would wish this on a 17-year-old. I mean, it's just 17-year-olds are not at severe risk of COVID. If they get sick, you know, they have the flu for a week and then they're fine.
Right.
It's just... You know, it's a solution looking for a problem, and it's a solution that's making a lot of people billions and trillions of dollars, and that's the problem, really, and that there's no liability, which you and I have discussed. Basically,
many
our
times.
Government, in its wisdom, has allowed, in an emergency context, virtually no liability for the manufacturers, for the healthcare providers, or for the people in the government who are pushing this.
Right.
So that's the reason that this is happening, is that there's no responsibility.
No, there is no responsibility. And, you know, years ago when we had to deal with this with the tobacco industry that was being so dishonest and, you know, basically promoting cigarette smoking, it was the doctors that came in, you know, and said, this is wrong.
Right.
We have to stop this. That's not happening today.
Well, you know, the good news is actually, Bernadette, there are some good doctors. Actually, I'm going to get on a call later this afternoon. So a doctor... It has just brought a lawsuit against his hospital corporation that is disallowing him from treating patients and saving their lives with effective treatments against COVID. So there are doctors standing up. I wish it were more, but, you know, courage is contagious. And this case brought by Paul Merrick against Centara Corporation, his hospital corporation in Virginia, I hope is going to break new ground and induce more physicians and other healthcare practitioners to stand up and say, we see what's happening and we won't be part of this.
Oh.
And, you know, they shouldn't be part of it, not only because it's the moral thing to do, but the Nuremberg Code, which is the basis for ethical medicine, its first principle says, you know, when it's experimental, and all these shots are experimental for kids. I mean, they're completely experimental. They're not yet found safe and effective. They're not licensed. You can't have coercion or bribes or duress or, you know, anything that taints somebody's free ability to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that is being done, I mean, these people may be liable. They may be liable.
Well, based on what I saw yesterday on television, I'm just going to sum up what I as an individual, my interpretation of what I saw on television. Number one, they're targeting the poor. They're incentivizing the poor by giving them $25 gift cards. I saw it last night on the news. It was, I think, and I was shocked. It was on Fox because I think that's where the game was on, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe you could tell me, Junior. Fox covered the game yesterday for the Cowboys. But I think that they are targeting the poor. They're trying to incentivize them with gift cards and all kinds of things. We know that. We've talked about this for over a year now. They're just incredibly, oh my gosh, unconscionable behavior, right? Of trying to get people to come in that are, they're desperate, and giving them a $25 gift card to get a shot. And they showed all the videos of the children. I mean, it's such manipulation. I see it clear as a bell. It is pure manipulation. That's what I feel as a viewer of what I saw yesterday.
Well, it's absolutely predatory advertising. I mean, as we've discussed, the U.S. is one of two countries in the world that permits any direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription medications, which a biologic is. But to target this towards preschoolers, mm-hmm. I mean, it just breaks new ground. And as Bobby Kennedy was quoted in that article saying, it's revolting, mm-hmm. and it's turning Big Bird into a child predator.
Oh.
I mean, it is. You're basically teaching these three-year-olds to tell their mothers and fathers, go take me for a shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beyond. And, you know, actually that article, Bernadette, is fascinating. It describes how Sesame Street actually did a 10-part show for kids on the ABCs of COVID. And they not only had on Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and they had on Dr. Lena Wen, leading advocates for vaccines and vaccine passports, but the last segment they had on Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Fauci said that he had personally gone to the North Pole and vaccinated Santa so that Santa could come down the chimney.
Oh,
I mean,
you
can't make this stuff up.
Oh, my gosh. So in their little brains, they're thinking, if I don't buy into this, that Santa's not going to come for Christmas. Pretty much, right?
Probably, yeah.
It's the subliminal message.
Like boxing them in every which way. It's like, you know, get my parents to get me my shot. Because if I don't get my shot, I might not get my Christmas presents. I might be a bad person. I mean, that's clearly what they want these kids to think.
Wow. Well, you know, and I was going to ask you that question about Big Bird. And when I was, you know, writing the questions last night and reading over the information from the newsletter, the weekly newsletter, to me, it seems like, you know, using Big Bird. So the headline was Big Bird, CNN, push vaccine propaganda on kids. And so, you know, my question was, when did this illicit custom start? Because to me, it's illicit. It's wrong. It's so wrong on every level that it's almost like a pedophile with a puppy. It's the same thing.
It is. Yeah. This started in the 1990s, being able to advertise direct to consumer. And even the HPV, the human papillomavirus vaccines, were really groundbreaking when they came out 10 years ago because they were advertising to preteens. I have never, ever, ever seen vaccine, and I follow this, I've never seen vaccine ads before that were targeted to preschoolers. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
And we're looking at this issue. I mean, this is just shocking. We're looking at what we can do to push back on this. This is just flat out shocking. And it's just false information aside from everything. I mean, these are very serious medical interventions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically giving children this idea that it's like, you know, a lollipop.
Right. Well, you know, and you bring up the book, the HPV, or you brought up, you know, the HPV vaccine and your book, the HPV vaccine on trial, seeking justice for a generation betrayed. This is almost like a repeat of that, right? In a lot of ways.
It is in many ways. I was talking to somebody about this last night. It is in many ways. That was in some respects kind of a trial run for this.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. More coming up with Mary Holland. It is the most read news of the week recap from the Children's Health Defense. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert and his team at Enviromedica, took home the 2021 Nexti Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexti Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your Tiraflora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're covering the most read news of the week, a recap with Mary Holland and the Children's Health Defense. Mary Holland serves as president and general counsel of Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law, and Mary is the co-author of the books Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. You can find her at childrenshealthdefense.org. Okay, Mary, one of the stories that I found super interesting, I had heard it somewhere else too, but that Eric Clapton tells RFK Jr., this has got to stop. What do you want to say about the story?
Sad story, you know. So Eric Clapton, 76, and so he was, you know, he lives in the UK, and he thought, oh my God, you know, I'm older, I'm at risk, I have to get this shot. And after his second dose of AstraZeneca, he became permanently disabled, Bernadette. And so he's written a song. And what's really interesting to me is he went through exactly what every family that deals with vaccine injury does, is that basically the world tells you, oh, you're crazy, it couldn't have been the vaccine, and they gaslight you. And he says, when he became disabled, he said he thought he was going crazy. And so now he's really happy that he's speaking out, and he's connecting with other people who've been injured, and he's become a real advocate. And so it was a really neat kind of dialogue between Bobby Kennedy and Eric Clapton around this.
I bet. And speaking of Robert Kennedy, his new book will be released tomorrow, right? The Real Anthony Fauci.
Wow.
I cannot wait to read it. What do you think Dr. Fauci will say about the book?
You know, my best guess, Bernadette, is he will not mention it at all. If he does, you know, he'll certainly say, oh, it's nonsense. But his smartest move will be to say absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he can manage that. I don't know.
Well, you know, earlier you talked about, you know, the advertising in the media. I forget exactly what you said, but I've been saving this on my desk that Americans, and a lot of people already know this, but when you read it and you say it out loud, you go, oh my gosh, really? But Americans are 5% of the world's population. Only 5%, but they consume roughly 70% of the world's pharmaceutical drugs, and the U.S. is number one of only two countries in the world, that's what you said, that televises pharma ads, okay?
Right.
And medications to mitigate poor lifestyle choices. And when you think about it like that, you know, it's no wonder that America had more deaths than anyone, right? Worldwide. Isn't that right?
That's a big part of it. But the other part of that story, Bernadette, is the intentional knowing suppression of safe and effective repurposed drugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you're right that Americans are sick in large part because of poor lifestyle choices and over-medication. But there have been very specific acts in this whole COVID pandemic that absolutely made the outcomes horrifically worse than they had to be.
Yeah.
And that book really covers that. I mean, it really does go into not just the last 50 years, and it does, but it really looks in deep detail at what's happened in COVID. It's really an important read in understanding, you know, where we've been for the last 40 years and how basically these agencies have become captured and just the handmaidens of industry. And then to really understand how threatening this whole pandemic scenario is, because it's really not going to change unless we demand that it change. In fact, it's going to get worse.
And we need to demand that it changes. This is insanity. It really is. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it, you know, and I read all this stuff and I'm like, Why don't more people get this? I had a discussion with one of my neighbors, you know, that believes that the vaccines have saved millions of people around the world. And that may be true, but not this vaccine. And I don't even know right. if I believe that. I believe that right. I believe that vaccines are a very profitable business, and that yep. and oh my gosh, I just think that they're not safe or effective, and we need to get back to basics. We need to take care of our immune systems and yep. get rid of all the over-the-counter junk that we put in our bodies instead of, you know, good old-fashioned, you know, veggie or chicken soup, yep. you know, and going yep. to bed and resting and making sure right. you get enough sleep and all these things that build your immune system. And don't bring your fever down, because the fever is a response that is innate in our bodies that helps us to shut down any kind of sickness or invader, right?
Right. Right.
You know, when you were talking earlier about VAERS, okay, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, I read, and I think we talked about this last week, but the paperwork for a doctor to fill out is so yeah. laborious that they don't even want to do it. And so a lot of times they'll do it a couple times and then they just give up.
Right.
So we're not even getting the correct numbers of the people.
Oh, the numbers are completely off throughout the system, Bernadette. I mean, and clearly there's some intent in that, right? They don't know. They can't tell you what's the injury rate. They can't tell you the underreporting rate. So it prioritizes the money numbers. Those they have a really good handle on. But sort of the liability numbers or the problem numbers, no, they don't know what those numbers are, and they don't want to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and you know, I got to tell the story. I have another neighbor. Okay, so she lost her sister. It's a woman that lives in the neighborhood. We all love her to pieces, and her sister, who she's taken care of for 8 years, recently passed away. Well, so she was already sick. Okay, she had been in and out of the hospital for the last 2 years, and when she was in the hospital not that long ago, they gave her a COVID shot. Okay, and so, but anyway, she's 93 years old. She was dying anyway, and they tagged her death as that she died from COVID. Okay. And that kind of stuff, you hear anecdotal stories like that, or you hear reports like that all the time. The numbers are skewed, you know, yeah. right? I mean, it's
absolutely the people dying from COVID and with COVID have been
right.
intentionally blended. So, you know, the numbers have been horrifically inflated for COVID, and yet the injuries from COVID vaccines have been starkly understated. I mean, that's just a part of this very skewed pro-industry, pro-pharma world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so here's another story that I want to cover that's in the Defender this week, Children's Health Defense News and Views. Okay, it says, forget COP. It's time to move on from capitalism agenda and reclaim climate movement. What is the COP and what is the capitalist agenda, Mary?
So this is an interesting article about the environmental conference that was just held in Glasgow. So COP stands for Conference of the Parties, and this was the 26th meeting after the Paris Climate Accords to try to make sure that, you know, the planet is going to stay healthy. And it's a very interesting article by a publication called Common Dreams that we reprinted that basically says this is just a bunch of capitalists. This is just industry trying to create new ways to exploit the environment. And we, the people who really care about climate change, should not legitimize this by going to these people's meetings, because they're actually harming us and they're harming the planet. So it's really interesting. At this meeting, they decided that the next second meetings, the next two meetings that they're going to have of this conference are going to be in Egypt, where no activists could go, or to the Arab Emirate Republics, which they say is a petrostate run by a kleptocratic royal family. I mean, there's no pretense that they're really going to have a social movement be able to deal with this. And so they basically say, you know, it's time for the climate justice movement to dissociate itself from basically this fake climate change movement that's really being run by billionaires in order to introduce carbon taxes and carbon allowances and net carbons and offsets and carbon markets. There's a huge new industry that's in the offing, Bernadette, around climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are just saying, you know, that's all about exploitation, and we shouldn't really be a part of that.
Jeez, I did not know about that. When I read the story, I was like, wow. You know, Junior, I don't know what your thoughts are right now listening to all this. Got any thoughts you want to share with the audience?
No, it's all kind of it's mind blowing to me, like just the things that are going on. And I'm the same with as you, Bern. Like I have friends that, you know, they just don't see it either. And you know, and sometimes when you bring it up, it just causes arguments, you know, and so I kind of avoid it. But it's good to hear all this information so that I want to relay it to my friends that don't hear this stuff. So, you know, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Actually, well, you know, one of the points that Bobby makes about this issue, because we all have friends who are like, what's the problem? You know, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. I have many friends like that. And you can't really tell them, you know, wake up, you know, the house is on fire. You have to ask questions. And I think that's a really good, it's like, oh, well, when do you think the pandemic's going to be over? Well, why do you think we need a third or a fourth booster? And get people to ask their own questions about what doesn't make sense in the situation we're in.
Yeah. You said booster. Okay, so here's another headline. Pfizer asked the FDA to authorize booster shots for all adults as vaccine makers puts profits over people. What do we need to know, Mary?
You know, I just read, Bernadette, Australia has already bought 14 boosters, two a year for the whole population.
Oh,
I mean, boosters were always a big part of the plan. And the boosters are more money, and candidly, they're probably also going to be more deterioration of people's health and more dependence on pharma. So, you know, no big surprise, Pfizer wants to sell their boosters. They've already produced them, and now they just need to make sure there's a market for them.
Wow. Oh, gosh. It's maddening. It's just maddening. I sit here and we, you know, and I just shake my head. I wish we had more answers. I do. But, you know, Mary, I think we briefly touched on this last week, but the story reports that Senator Elizabeth Warren sued for pressuring Amazon to stop selling the truth about COVID-19. Did she indeed violate the First Amendment, pressuring Amazon to stop selling Dr. Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummins' book? And who else is involved in this lawsuit?
So Children's Health Defense is a part of this lawsuit, as well as Chelsea Green Publishers, together with the two authors of the book, Ronnie and Joe Mercola. And we do think that she violated the Constitution. A member of the government cannot ask a private party to do what the government official herself cannot do. A government official cannot censor somebody. That violates the First Amendment freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And so for her to write a letter to the CEO of Amazon and say, you should immediately take this book off of your platform because it represents COVID misinformation, that's unacceptable. And there's really good Supreme Court precedent in a case called Bantam Books that says that a government official can't do that. So we'll see how Senator Warren responds, but we want these government officials to understand that we're watching and that we're not going to accept that they can simply tell Facebook and Amazon and Twitter that they can deplatform people. They can't do that. They can't do that legally.
And didn't a Pfizer whistleblower, I read it this morning from Dr. Mercola, that it says Pfizer whistleblower sinks vaccine trial integrity. And it goes on to say, story at a glance, that according to the whistleblower who worked on Pfizer's phase 3 COVID jab trial, data were falsified. Patients were unblinded. Yep. The company hired poorly trained people to administer the injections and follow up on reported side effects lagged way behind. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. I mean, this is a very courageous woman, Brooke Jackson, who spoke up against a subcontractor to Pfizer. And as soon as she tried to, you know, bring this to the attention of her supervisors, they didn't pay any attention. So she wrote to the FDA. She was immediately fired. Fortunately, her story was recently written up in the journal called the British Medical Journal, and it's now getting some real play. But what she describes, Bernadette, is just, it's hair-raising. I mean, the whole thing is a fraud, is basically what she's saying from start to finish. There's just, the whole thing is a fraud. They didn't do clinical trials. They didn't mark things correctly. They didn't do the correct procedures. Everything about the alleged clinical trial by this subcontractor called Ventana was just done wrong. It was just done in a really shoddy way. So kudos to Brooke Jackson. And, you know, I hope that she gets satisfaction, honestly. She was wrongly terminated. What she did was really what we need more citizens on the inside to do, who are firsthand observing this kind of malfeasance.
Right, which makes me think of Leslie Manoukian, you know, another brave individual, you know, another brave woman out there, just like you, Mary, you know, that you know, was told by a CEO of a major pharmaceutical company that, oh, a few, yeah, some people are going to die, but, you know, we're going to make, I think the number was like $9 billion, or the numbers are just astronomical, the profits being made on vaccines. It's hard to keep up with all of it. But, you know, in the Defender, there's another story about Pfizer that they sponsored NBC News caught lying about COVID and kids. What did they lie about, Mary, and how much media or how much of our media?
This is extraordinary. This is by this comedian sort of newscaster, Jimmy Dore, and he analyzes this TV show by, you know, sponsored by Pfizer, and Pfizer sponsors a huge number of shows on TV. So this NBC newscaster, Mr. Torres, says that there had been 146,000 COVID deaths among children. And in point of fact, the real number is under 700, Bernadette. So this is just, you know, sort of an out and out fraud to scare parents into going to vaccinate their young children. And it's just false information. A lot, to great extent, I would just tell people to turn off the mainstream media, honestly. Turn off the mainstream media, because it's just going to try to drive you crazy and make you scared.
Oh, gosh. It's disgusting. It really is. I haven't, you know, I turned my television off like 10 years ago. And I told you yesterday I turned it on and I caught a little bit of like regular, what you would call regular television. I just couldn't believe what I saw. I was like, oh my gosh, this is such manipulation. It really is. If you have your television on all the time, you are being manipulated by Big Pharma. There is no question about it in my mind, my opinion. Would you agree?
I would. 70% of the advertising revenue comes from pharma. So we call it pharma media. You know, it's not unbiased. It's absolutely what the pharmaceutical industry wants you to hear and wants you to think. And there's a reason it's called TV programming. It's not TV, you know, truth or TV news. It's programming. And they're telling you what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking at the clock. I bet you have to go. Can we squeeze in one more thing real quick? Someone sent me this this article. The name of it is Politics, and it's about a federal appeals court reaffirms its decision to freeze Biden's vaccine mandate. What is the recent update on the mandates, Mary?
Well, that's a very exciting decision that just came down from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Texas, by the way. And so there had been a temporary restraining order granted about a week ago, but then a much more thorough decision by another panel had to decide whether or not to continue with a preliminary injunction, not to let the OSHA rule go into effect or not. And the court, in a pretty thorough decision, very strongly said, oh, no, we're not letting this go forward and be implemented at this point. We think that this is, quote, staggeringly overbroad, and that there's good basis to continue to stay it. It's supposed to go into effect in early January. And what's going to happen next, Bernadette, is there's many, many more lawsuits that have been filed by other states, by other attorney generals, by other organizations, labor unions, and absolutely for sure, these cases are going to come to a head. The Supreme Court's going to have to take a couple of these cases, and the Supreme Court's going to have to really weigh in on the legitimacy of federal mandates and the accessibility of religious and medical exemptions. Wow. So stay tuned. It's not over, but the Fifth Circuit decision staying the mandate is good news for those who think that this is really a power grab by the federal government.
Wow. I'm glad I asked. It's always great to have you on the show. And thank you for, you know, giving us all a little hope there.
Thank you so much, Bernadette.
All right. Bye. Mary Holland, everyone, I encourage you to go to childrenshealthdefense.org, maybe even donate, even if it's just a dollar. It all helps to fight this, I don't know, what do you want to call it, Junior? Let's give it a name.
I don't have a name.
You don't have a name. Okay. I'll come up with something. Okay. We'll be right back. More coming up with Jackie Schlegel. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Children's Health Defense, led by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is devoted to the health of all people and the planet. Their team fights tirelessly against the public health policies, practices, and mandates that are harming our health, and threatening our medical freedoms. Children's Health Defense steps in where others fear to tread. Visit childrenshealthdefense.org and tune in every Monday for Health Freedom News and Views with the president of Children's Health Defense, Mary Holland.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We've got Jackie Schlegel with us. She is the founder and executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. In 6 years, six short years, I might add, she took a group of passionate moms and turned it into the epitome of grassroots activism, setting an unprecedented standard for the nation and even drawing worldwide attention. That fledgling group of 20 is now an influential political action committee and an educational foundation nearing 100,000 official members who proudly align themselves with the Texas for Vaccine Choice. Thanks to Jackie's endless energy and passion, this group is organized with local branches, core members, and team leaders impacting their schools, their communities, and their legislators. You can find Jackie at TexansForVaccineChoice.org. That's TexansForVaccineChoice.org. Jackie Schlegel, girl, sister, how you doing? Good to have you back with us.
It is so good to hear your voice, and I'm so excited to be here. And once again, hearing you read that bio, take me back to our humble beginnings and seeing how far we come and just how important this issue is now more than ever.
It is really important. And you know what's important, too, that I tell you how sorry I am. Condolences about the loss of your mom. That was a very difficult thing. It is for anyone to lose their mom. And I just want to tell you how sorry we are here at One Life Radio. And when did your mom, she passed a couple of weeks ago, right? About a month ago?
She did. It was at the very end of September. And I just thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, just being there and being such a great support to me and this organization through some really difficult times. 2021 has been a really difficult year for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I look at this situation and I just want to point out that while the world is a crazy place and many of us are just facing some really challenging obstacles, we come together and we are strong. And there's this force that has tried to divide us on many issues. But I just want to point out that the medical freedom community, what we're doing here together, One Life Radio, Texas for Vaccine Choice, we're a really strong, strong movement. And we have a lot of friends in this fight. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for you. And it's always great to have you on the air. You know, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. But the last time was after the Freedom Rally in Austin this summer. What has the feedback been like since then?
You know, it's been phenomenal. I just think that event was such a pivotal event. As this year has really played out and we've been trying to forecast what the next step is, you know, where is this going? And the Freedom Fight kind of like took all of those just benchmarks throughout the year and brought us together to those stairs on the Capitol and really gave us a voice that was incredibly powerful. We drew a lot of attention inside that building. They heard us. They heard us loud and clear. They saw the united front. And we're still each and every day, we are gaining new members. And I believe that was a crucial moment in our year at that Freedom Fight. So we're rapidly growing.
I love it. And I hope that you're not growing because more children are getting, you know, injured. And because that's, you know, it's so funny. People, you know, when people say to me, what do you care for, Bernadette? You know, I said, I care for my other fellow brothers and sisters I have friends that have injured children from vaccines. And if it happened to your child, you would care too. You know, this needs to be talked about, right? It needs to be talked about by the whole country. It's not just a Texas thing. It is a worldwide thing, actually. You know, and there's a story that we're going to, or I mean, a recent update that I want to cover. I get so upset when I think about all the children getting injured. It like really bothers me, Jackie. And you went through it yourself personally. And so
I did experience it. And I will tell you from my experience, I have so much compassion for one, families making this decision. I have been there. I have done that. I remember what it was like to weigh the risk and the benefits. I wish I would have been fully informed, but at the time I made the decision I thought was best for my child. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, she was one that was injured by her vaccines. And to see these families coming to us who are having that same experience, and they're just so distraught and so heartbroken, and rightfully so. And I should consider myself blessed because my daughter survived. And right. many of these families that are coming to us have had very different experiences, mm-hmm. but they're using those experiences to warn other families. And again, at Texans for Vaccine Choice, we really believe that you have the right to choose, but we want you to be fully informed mm-hmm. in that decision and not feel like your hands are tied. You should have the risk and the benefits. You should know if your child's at risk, and you should be able to make that choice.
Yeah, and so many, I mean, you hear, I mean, I've heard hundreds of stories from people, just hundreds of people, like, just, you know, like a delivery guy a couple of weeks ago I started talking with him about it, and he had a child that was injured by vaccines, and the doctor said, oh no, it wasn't the vaccines, it was something else, you know, it was, they excuse it away with a lot of different, you know, excuses and explanations that I don't even know where they get them from, you know. I'm sure they... It's so frustrating for me. I can hardly talk about it today. After turning on the television yesterday for just a few minutes, Jackie, I swear I'm traumatized. I'm traumatized from having my television on.
I don't have one, and that's why I do not have one. You know, I think the other thing to point out that we've talked a lot about on this show is then who bears the responsibility. I think the thing that's incredibly concerning, again, having lived this, knowing the family has to bear this responsibility, but it eventually does tax the nation. It taxes the state. Somebody has to care for right. these children who are injured. And I think it's time we start having an honest conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that, you know, really they like to bring up in this discussion.
No, they don't want to talk about it. Most people don't want to talk about it. It's just so, it creates so much controversy. You don't know who agrees with you, who doesn't, but we have to talk about this as a nation. We do. I don't know when that'll happen, but hopefully soon. I'm going to go for a quick break. I've got lots of questions, and we'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned. More coming up with Jackie Schlegel. She is the founder and executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@onelifradio.com.
Hey everyone, there's a chill in the air, which means fall and football are here. And nothing tastes better when you're watching the game than a great tasting holiday beverage. So we have some great news. The makers of Sun Warrior plant-based protein have now made your favorite holiday drinks even better by making them delicious and good for you. Sun Warrior has added two all-time favorite holiday flavors to two of their best-selling products to create the pumpkin spice Warrior Blend protein and peppermint bark collagen building protein peptides. Grab your ice shaker and mix these two with your favorite warm or cold beverage to create a healthy holiday drink. The price-friendly introductory sizes will only be available for a limited time, so order yours today starting October 5th at sunwarrior.com/OLR. They are the perfect stocking stuffer. Combine them with an ice shaker and you've got the ideal health-minded holiday gift. Visit sunwarrior.com and iceshaker.com to check out all of their amazing products. Happy holidays from Sun Warrior, Ice Shaker, and One Life Radio.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Jackie Schlegel. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Okay, so Jackie, we saw that the Texas Attorney General had announced that the Fifth Circuit Court determined the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for business owners and employers was unconstitutional. Can you tell us what that means for Texans who have been threatened with the loss of their employment if they do not take the vaccine? What does this mean for them?
Oh, Bernadette, I mean, we've been talking about this for how many months now? I mean, I remember standing in the Capitol having this call with you of people are losing their job. We need the legislature to act. We need someone to act to stop these mandates. This is an incredibly complicated subject. It's far from over. You're going to see a lot of ping-ponging back and forth, not only in the courts, but in the legislature. But right now, what this means is employers and business owners are no longer forced into requiring their employees to be vaccinated, because this ruling frees them from penalties and fines imposed by the Biden mandate. However, this does not mean a business is prohibited from requiring their employees to be vaccinated. A business can continue to make whatever requirements it chooses of its employees. And this is really the big issue that needs to be addressed next. I think we're going to see it addressed in various different methods in the legislature, hopefully in states enacting policies, you know, that would shield and protect employee rights. I think we're going to see it fought in the court system. But I think the one point that we just can't lose sight of is the implications of mandates to an already taxed workforce. Mm-hmm. Hospitals are so short-staffed. There's shortages happening all across America. We're having a hard time finding employees to work. And yet, on the other hand, then we're telling those who want to work that they have to choose between their job or in getting maybe a product that they don't want to get. This is just a national crisis that we have to address sooner rather than later.
I couldn't agree more. And what do you think we're going to see now that the Pfizer vaccine has received the emergency use authorization for children in ages 5 to 11? I can't even believe I'm saying that. 5 to 11. Oh my gosh.
And Bernadette, I have seen discussions online of, you know, medical professionals saying they can't wait until their infants are made eligible for this vaccine.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think it's mind-blowing.
No, I saw that yesterday on the news. I saw this woman say that. I'm like, I wanted to jump inside the television and shake her and say, no, you know, don't do that, you know.
For these kids who they have been saying this entire time weren't at risk. So what is the motive here? You know, from a mandate standpoint, I think in Texas, generally speaking, the legislature acts to add vaccines to the schedule. But yeah. I think we're going to see it roll out just like we did with the adult mandates. They're going to offer for free. They're going to make it accessible. Then they're going to add a lot of incentives for taking the vaccine. And eventually, when those incentives run out and that core demographic, they've tapped out, they're going to have no choice then but to increase the pressure. Bernadette, I am most concerned right now that wherever you live, whether you're in Texas, outside of Texas, parents have got to figure out what their state laws are, who can consent for vaccination for their minor children. Find out when the shot clinics are at your children's school. And the only real sure way to ensure your child doesn't get vaccinated without your consent is to make sure they do not attend on those days. I hate to, you know, put this out there to be so fearful, but we've experienced it here in Texas with flu shot clinics. We've had children who were wrongfully vaccinated at school. It's only a matter of time before this happens with these clinics popping up all over. Even in Texas, we're seeing school districts mislead parents into thinking this is something that they have to do. Mm-hmm. You have rights. If you're not in Texas, figure out your state's laws on who can consent for vaccination and what that criteria is. Work with your school district, but do not assume that this issue is not going to come to your doorstep, because it absolutely could sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and this is a call to action for everyone out there listening. I encourage you to go to texansforvaccinechoice.org to see what you can do. The music's going to start here in just a minute. You know, Jackie, I went a little long with Mary, so running a little short here on the time, but oh my gosh, like everyone listening, please, please. Wake up. Just wake up. And this is it's a call to action, isn't it, Jackie? I have trouble wrapping my head around this. It's gotten out of control. It's really out of control, isn't it?
It absolutely has. But you know what? I think having these conversations, talking to the experts like Mary Holland, what a perfect person to run over with because she's just brilliant at what she does.
Oh, yeah.
The resources are here. Get informed. There's no better time.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, kudos to the Children's Health Defense. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book comes out tomorrow, The Real Anthony Fauci. And you, Jackie Schlegel, dear friend, I love you. I miss you. Can't wait to see you.
I love you. You're amazing.
Look who's talking. All right, everyone, we got to go. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and read everything you can.